when the whole areas of the universe get together, then that's how I came, to be part of CTOX. I believe I'm one of the, few very first people that joined,
That's
and I'm
it.
really, happy about that. And since then, I've learned so many things. It's amazing.
Welcome to Inside CTOX Podcast. I'm Donna, Head of Membership and Partnership, and today we're stepping inside the minds of some of the most innovative tech leaders out there. This isn't just a podcast, it's a place where CTO journeys come alive, where stories of struggles, breakthroughs, and growths unfold. We're here to unpack the experiences of real CTOs navigating through our CTOX Accelerator and membership program. So sit back, tune in, let's get into the story. Welcome to the Inside CTOX podcast. Today, we are so excited because we have the fabulous Yoemi Waller, with more than 25 years as a healthcare data scientist and now a fractional CTO, helping health systems worldwide harness AI for impact. She guides organizations through AI-powered transformations, from payment integrity to NLP to disease detection, all with a deep focus on patient outcomes. Known to most as a fearless AI evangelist, she combines clinical precision with a traveler's curiosity and compassion. Driven by passion for equity and innovation, Yoemi builds ethical, intelligent systems that heal, empower, and support. And get this, a global citizen who has visited over 160 countries and counting, speaks seven languages. Wow, we're all blown away by that. Yoemi brings cultural fluency and human-centered design to every engagement. Wow, Yoemi. That's amazing. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Donna. So nice to be here. Really excited. Love it to be here.
Yeah, well, out of the seven languages, what's your favorite to speak?
The one that I speak the most is English, but my favorite is Italian.
Oh, beautiful language. Beautiful language. Well, we're all like super impressed when we heard all of those stats. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get in. I'm excited to get into this with you, Yoemi. Now, thinking back to before joining CTOX, I always like to get a little bit of background, but what was the real catalyst for joining CTOX? Was it just the raw ambition? Was it burnout, curiosity, just something you hadn't even thought about before? What was the thing?
A combination of things. I've been, in the industry for so many years. Most of the time was working for somebody else, right? Different companies. I worked with, hospitals. I worked with insurance companies. I worked, you name it, all the gamut. For the last past 10 years, I have been working on my own, pretty much, doing projects, doing, data analytics, all that kind of things. And I felt that I had reached a plateau and I wanted to scale. So I say, okay, there is something I need to know on how, probably the techniques or what else, what can I do to improve my game. And by serendipity, I found Lior, and it seems like everything clicked, and at the same time, it's like, oh wow, this is what I'm needing. As they say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Teacher
So
appears.
there is, I would say when the whole areas of the universe get together, then that's how I came, to be part of CTOX. I believe I'm one of the, few very first people that joined,
That's
and I'm
it.
really, happy about that. And since then, I've learned so many things. It's amazing.
Yeah, and your journey has been truly amazing. Yeah, you were in right at the start, early CTOX. One thing that a lot of people tell us, particularly those that kind of come in early on, is that there was always just a moment where it was super hard. This is all new to a lot of people. Was there something particularly that you like thought, this is almost going to crack me, but it didn't? You fought through it.
I would say not being in the mindset of having to do the sales and the promotion of the services and getting out there, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's through the social media or whether it was with the, you know, with the different systems that we have for, you know, contacting people, that was out of my comfort zone 100%, right? Mm-hmm. I was, you know, from the beginning, getting my clients mostly from conferences and speaking engagements, which for other people, that is like, I don't want to speak in front of people. But to me, that's natural. Oh, I love to do that. But sending a cold email, it was like the chills. I don't know what to do. Why should I send this? What if people get, you know, angry? It was all these, you know, things because I was not used to it, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, like, you know, you got to keep with the program. Let's do this, right? Mm-hmm. And things start, you know, working. Of course, you know, in my industry, the processes for, you know, the sales process is very long because the healthcare industry takes a lot of time. They might want your services, but they have to wait for the next budget cycle to be able to get you in and things like that. So you have to be keeping at it to be able to, you know, to reach that momentum. And that was something that I think continuing and keeping up with it helps, but also understanding that you have to get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Getting that's out of your comfort zone. I think that's one thing that really resonates with people out there, for sure. And it's not just a professional growth. We also see a lot of personal growth. So like for you, what was the most, say, unexpected shift personally through your journey here?
One of the important things, and when I was talking both with Leo and Marisa, was when they focused and asked me, what is it that you want to do? Why are you doing this? You know, it's not because of the money, it's not because of things. What is it? You know, what is the thing? And my answer was, I want more time for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to continue traveling. You know, that takes a lot of time traveling. And I want to do something that it can be scaled without me having to invest, you know, 20 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, that's possible because you got to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big revelation, kind of, you know, exploded my mind because I was never, it didn't even pass my mind before.
Yeah.
You know, before Marisa said that, I was like, is that something possible? I was not even thinking, you know? And they said, yeah, because you will purposely focus on that you want more time. You will purposely look for clients that will allow you. So it was a complete mind shift and a personal growth for me, because it taught me that I can continue doing my business, but I also have to take care of myself.
Yes.
So it's huge, huge.
Yes, that's so amazing. And I think, you know, the old adage of just work harder, it's just not the thing anymore. That's just exactly. Not a way to get success. You to your point, like, yeah, just working 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's
doesn't cut it.
Yeah, it doesn't cut exactly. It. It's not how we get success. And yeah, you mentioned Lior and Marisa, two wonderful people here at CTOX, everybody's favorites. You know, the community and the coaching and everybody is so strong here. We're such a close-knit group. But was there a particular relationship that you particularly connected with? Or like, and you know, tell me a little bit about that.
I would say that all of you guys are fantastic. I don't have a favorite. The whole CTOX is my favorite, I would say. Because everybody brings something to the table. Mm-hmm. And then that synergy really helped, you know, all of the members. And I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about, you know, CTOX Accelerator really accelerates. And people do, if you follow the program, you're going to get where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And for me it would be one thing, for somebody else would be something else, right? Yes. Being very clear, because you guys help us understand what is it that you want, where do you want to get, right? Sometimes you are just too busy working, trying to, you know, time to make it, right? But not really thinking, am I running in the right direction? Is that where I want to be? Or I'm putting myself in a cage that then I'm not going to be really able to get out, because I might have signed contracts and then all of a sudden, you know, curtails my main purpose at the beginning. So I think the whole team is great, because everybody brings something really good to the table. And I really appreciate that, because that diversity is what really helps, right? It's not just one person's point of view, but, you know, the different angles. And I really like that.
Exactly that. And it's not, it's not one person's view. It's not one person's program. It's not one person's path. And I think that's really what we try to get across, is like, you need to be on your own path. You can't just follow, well, Yoemi did this and she was, I should just follow. If you're not a public speaker, and I think you can attest to this, then do not go into public speaking.
Exactly. And you know, some people might say, oh, how you get clients? And they say, you're public speaking in front of 500, 6,000 people. And then people are like, oh, no. You know, they don't like it. They don't do that.
But
I'm perfectly comfortable with that. Mm. And it depends. Some people might be, okay, maybe I just do the, you know, cold email thing, or just, you know, get your network activated, things like that. And it's okay. It's okay, because it depends on their own needs and how, where they are. And I like that, you know, we understand that thing. It's not like, oh, do this or else. It's gotta be a consensus
choice, it's got to be their own choice and their own journey. You can't walk anybody else's path. No, it's super important for them. What was the one thing that you would like to go back and change if you could?
I would say being able to attend more meetings. Because sometimes, you know, you get busy and then you miss something, and then you're thinking you're going to be able to catch it up later on the videos. But then a new more meeting comes in and then you're trying to catch up, right? That would be one of the things that I would change, you know, not missing meetings and being able to attend each one of them. Even now, you know, just lately, I have been missing some meetings because I am trying to close another deal. So it's a lot of meetings and, you know, analysis and things that I have to do. But I think that is key, you know, seeing the rest of the team, seeing everybody. There is a synergy that creates there, you know, that momentum that helps everybody, right? When we're talking about what are the wins of the week, what are the things that have happened, I think those are priceless.
Yeah.
And
so good to see it.
That would be one thing that I will change, is not missing meetings.
And it's so funny, because like, things come up in those meetings that are just, you know, hard lefts. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, I never would have thought of that if I was just doing just one-to-one coaching or just working this on my own. It's having that group and having all these different backgrounds, all these different experiences, all these different challenges that are in the room right now. And it's so fun to kind of explore all of that than just kind of, you know, just looking at just your world, you know, really, I think.
Exactly.
I'm watching the videos. I always say to people, cancel Netflix. There's no more Netflix. You're just going to binge watch Lior on CTOX now.
I should do that, you know, probably binge watching some of the things that we have done. It's funny. I don't even, you know, have time to watch television. My television is there, not even connected to the wall. It doesn't even, you know, not even, it's like crazy, but it's okay.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. I'm really interested to know, What is an insight or principle from CTOX that you'd like to share here that has become a non-negotiable? Something that you know, either through the program or something you've always sort of like held on to, but something that you would defend in any room, against any boardroom, against any CEO? Like, what's that one thing, that one principle of yours?
There are several, but I think the most, the one that has helped me the most has been activating my network. Because at the beginning I was thinking, oh, I should not be bothering my friends or my, you know, my acquaintances. Why would I, you know, I feel awkward at the beginning thinking, oh, you should not do this. But then I realized that people appreciate that you are seeing them as, you know, as a connector, as somebody that can help. And then it, it's a whole flip, right? I'm thinking, hey, these people are actually happy to introduce me to so-and-so. And you know, it's like, oh, wow, I never did that. And then you start thinking, well, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But then it's sometimes you don't do that. I wouldn't have done it if it was not part of this program, right? Because it kind of forces you, okay, this is one of the tools, you could use it, this principle. And then you're there. I was there at the beginning hesitating, like, oh, you don't want to bother anybody. But I did exercise anyway, right? And then that got me introduced to people. And then those people then introduced me to other people. So it was wonderful. Absolutely. The second thing was the idea of actually what we're doing right now, the podcast, right? And inviting people and you know, guests and to speak. It's amazing how easy people say yes to you know, to for you to interview them. It's like amazing because you're making them feel important. Mm-hmm. And that's like a huge thing, right? And that opens a lot of doors. So all of these things, you know, together, I think those two principles are two winners for me.
I love that. I love that, making people feel important. And I think that's something you overlook, because I hear this a lot. It's like, oh, I don't want to pester people, I don't want to reach out. But yet we all love it when somebody asks for our advice.
Exactly.
If somebody comes and asks for any sort of recommendation or, hey, do you know anybody? We love to be that go-to. Oh, she must know because she knows everybody.
Like, exactly.
We all want to be that person. And yet we're also afraid to reach out to other people and give them the joy.
That opportunity.
That opportunity. Yeah. Exactly. It's so interesting. It's so funny. So who was, from everybody you've reached out to, who was the one surprise? Who was the somebody that either introduced you to somebody you thought you wouldn't, or introduced you to somebody that was totally like, wow, I wasn't expecting that?
It was somebody that I worked with a few years back. And you know, we have kept kind of friends, but not like buddy buddies, anything like that, right? But you know, we kept friendship. And I say, hey, listen, I'm doing this. Would you be able to, you know, introduce me to, you know, to your CEO? I know that you guys. And she was just so glad to do that. It was like, oh, of course I help you. You know, it was like amazing. And I was just so hesitant, and she was like, absolutely, I help you with that, no problem at all. So it was amazing, and that kind of switched me, you know, on the mentality thing, on why I was scared of this, why, yeah. You know, and sometimes it's, you know, it's just your beliefs, not really what the reality is.
Yeah.
You believe you're going to be bothering people, you believe it's not going to work, and then you don't do it. But the reality is these people are super happy because they will feel, oh, yes, you know, I'm the one to introduce you to so-and-so. And there we go. Perfect. Yeah. Right. So it's amazing how things work out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are, especially when you are, I would say, studying technology, right, everything is very rigid. Everything is very, you know, your code, your things, you know, your infrastructure, your hardware, you know, the data, it's very rigid, you know, very, very cold, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But these different techniques that CTOs have introduced are more on the human side.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And those are the ones the things that we really need to be able to connect with others, to be able to move the business forward. Because it doesn't matter if you are Nobel Prize in technology, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're not a personable and you don't connect with people, you don't get the business, period. That's it, right? So you have to be able to do that, to mm-hmm. you know, to grow yourself to the level that you become that, you know, personable, nice, connecting with people, talking, and so on and so forth. It's part of the deal. Otherwise, you don't get anywhere. You'll be struggling all the time.
Yeah. And it's so, I so love this. You are the AI evangelist, and yet you're here saying you need to be human. You need to be.
Yeah.
I think we forget to be human sometimes, you know, with all this.
I think you're going to be human all the time, right? The main thing is you will use technology to improve humankind. If you're just thinking as technology per se, oh, because I want to implement these models, I want to do this AI, I want to do the latest, you know, machine learning, you know, super duper model, just thinking on that side is not going to get you anywhere, because you're not going to be solving real life problems. You're going to be probably blindsided, right? I have, you know, when I'm solving problems for people, and they are very related to AI, to data, and analytics. Mm-hmm. It's funny to find that people don't think. They just believe that you do this, you're going to get that. But it doesn't work that way. Reality is different. So as much as you can use different models to try to, you know, predict, you know, reality, there are many other factors that you're not taking into consideration in those models, right? There's that human factor we were talking about, mm-hmm. that people might react in a different way from what you're saying. For example, I have had doctors that say, over my dead body, I will use AI for anything, right? And okay, that's your perception. Then when we show them, you know, Dr. So-and-so has been using this thing and be able to predict, you know, sepsis, and therefore save 25 of his patients real quick. How about that?
Yeah.
Really? Can you do that type of thing? And then they kind of get in the thing. Mm-hmm. So you got to show them the benefits.
You got to show them other humans using AI, exactly. And then it's more relatable. Okay, then just the AI or the data.
Because, you know, there is always the fear of what you don't know, right? The unknown is always something. Oh, you know, the AI is going to take over the world and what have you. All these, you know, negative doomsday stories. But I believe that's just a tool. It's the same as computers. It's the same as everything else. You know, it's based on mathematics and statistics. You just have to understand what to use it for, right? Mm-hmm. And as much as I always try to you know, promote and show people that this is, you know, the best set of tools, I always incorporate that part now as, okay, what do you want for your patients? Mm-hmm. What is it that we're trying to accomplish here? Mm-hmm. Do you really want people to get better, or do you just really want to, you know, what is it that you want to do?
You want to just be right. Do you want to just keep doing what you were doing before so that you're right? Or do you actually want to focus on patients?
Exactly. And again, science is trial and error. Mm-hmm. All of the discoveries of science and experiments, you got to do it and then do it again. See if you can replicate the results and continue doing like that. So if you're a real scientist, you got to be able to do those experiments and figure out, oh yeah, it does work this way. But all of a sudden you can do something and then it doesn't work. Then you got to tweak it. You got to figure it out why it's not working. Then you, oh, maybe I'm not having enough data. Maybe I'm not having, you know, what it takes. Maybe I'm biased on my model because I have to add these other factors into it. Mm-hmm. So it's a trial and error situation. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, I designed this and it's off for you and ready to roll. And that mentality is one of the things that we have to deal with clients a lot, because they think that either 100% they don't want it, or they want everything AI. You know, there's no
one extreme or the other. Oh my goodness.
There's no in between. They want everything AI. Hold it. Where is your data? All of a sudden, that data is in 27 different systems. They don't talk to each other. They're not together. It's a mess. And then, okay, we have to work from the beginning and put that together and be able to get you AI ready, because you're not AI ready. So it's a whole process in that. And the important thing for me is always, what can I do using technology to be able to do something better for humankind?
Thank you for listening to part one with Yoemi Waller. Wow. What great insights. Join us next time for part two, when we dive further into AI, into leadership, and our special segment.